Go ahead.
Go ahead, Bob.
No, you go ahead, Chad.
Okay, there's an interesting post on Five Body from like March 2008, which would be a year before Ion showed up.
Yeah.
And Bob posted something in reply to someone else talking about mediumship. And Bob said something like, what we need now is conscious mediumship.
Yeah.
And I followed up in response to that with, how about pan conscious maximum chip?
Chip, and C-H-I-P?
It's almost a year to date.
Did you say C-H-I-P, chip?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember you posting that, or you brought that up recently. So what about that phrase?
Well, it's interesting because you called out the idea of conscious mediumship.
Right.
And then that resonated with me, and I took it and I put little curlies on the end of it. Said, why not pan-conscious maximum chip?
Yeah, that.
Not mediumship, but maximum.
Chip, you know, you're right, because that is Ion, because people think, you know, the skeptics think, this is a guy who can download answers real fast from the computer. They think, you know, someone asks a question, he quickly finds out something about the Federal Reserve. But that, so they imagine it's Chip. But Ion does include chip technology, has chip knowledge, you know, it's all about Hollywood and pop culture, the Android meme. So, yeah, your phrase there is pretty close to what happened. Because Ion is so different from any previous priest, religion, cult, because he doesn't give a damn about what we're doing. And he says, with the authority of massaging you, non-physically, and you feel it, he says, whatever you're doing, it's okay. Now that's why you're going to get feelings of euphoria. He's actually releasing everybody from all their guilt or whatever they're thinking. With no hierarchy. So he's only here to play. That's why that Android Meme Critics thing is really good. Where you got Dave and Scott and me and an Ion, and we're just a bunch of guys sitting around in a pub playing a jukebox and talking about the songs, right? And there's quote God, because many people are going to think that Ion is God in the external sense. Here's God just hanging out and celebrating the worst rappers, you know?
I want to be BB.
Yeah, with the BBB. So
cool.
It's verbally, Ion is so hip. You guys all know that we presented Ion first as Ian. You people know about that?
Yeah.
Do you know that, Sheila?
Yeah,
Ian,
the archives and Cashflow, I saw that. I heard it.
Yeah, do they say, it says Ian on there in the actual Chief Radio Archives?
It does.
Oh, yeah, it's spelled, yeah. And then at Occult Science Radio Project, they had Ion, they spelled it differently. Anyways, that's April 15th. That's less than a month after Ion shows up, and he's on there, and I didn't even tell James what was going on. No, sorry, he must have known because he had a reading before that. So he knew, but we didn't say anything. So we got this guy, Ian. After, James had never heard him perform in public, no one had. James says, you know what? Ion has a hip, nonchalant, arrogant. Okay, what was it? His voice was hip, nonchalant, and something else, arrogance. That's really what it is. Hip, nonchalant.
Nonchalant, arrogant.
Yeah.
Nonchalant.
Yeah. Oh, no, it was arrogant. Hip, nonchalant. No, I said arrogance. Okay, so what are the three words? Hip, nonchalant, arrogance. There was maybe a fourth word. But the point is, it was totally the aristocratic voice. It's the aristocratic of, you know, a Lord Bertrand Russell voice or something. He's seen it all, you know what I mean? He knows everything, he's wise about everything. That's, to the materialist, what Ion sounds like. Plus, the slightly effeminate or gay sound in there, he is the voice, at least with Ian, to me, he was the voice of Satan. You know what I mean? And he was, in the traditional Christian mythology, he was saying, you can do whatever you want. It was totally, quote, satanic from a Christian value point. So, but it's loosened up now, but that was the first time we heard him on the radio. And he was hip, nonchalant, arrogance. And that's what it is. So then, if you notice somewhere, I ask, I was describing how the Bertrand Russell and these guys, the super successful artist thinkers, but they don't have access to parallel worlds or have that awareness, they're totally sophisticated in the material world. That there's a limitation there. And they think that there's nothing more, so they're very existential. I think Ion comes through with that satanic voice and then goes beyond that. He's saying, I ain't here. I may sound like the devil, but I'm not in any materialist reference point. So I was talking to a client, and they described the man they want in detail. And at the end of it, Ion says, you know who you just described? And she goes, no. You just described Satan. It was very... And she says, okay, if he's Satan, I want him. But it was like the ultimate Hugh Hefner, playboy, suave, sophisticated guy, you know? And then Ion went on about that. But it's pretty interesting about the archetypal image of... You see, can you hear these Christians or anybody hearing Ion? They're going to say, look, this guy's telling you to do whatever you want. Remember what he said? He said it today. He said, okay, now you've got it. Let the sin begin. Did you hear him say that?
Yes.
Let the sin begin. That's going to upset a lot of people.
He said he was the second coming. Oh, the great one.
Yeah, and he said, that's no big deal. We've been here forever. We never come back. So I'm just discussing the effect Ion's voice has on listeners. There's a positive effect, and I'm sure other people are going to think it's Satan. Which is interesting. He probably has to be that fine line.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Yeah.
Because
it has to be that fine line.
Yeah, because the whole good-bad thing is a cultural problem. It's rulemaking. We will continue making rules. And so Ion, here's what I like about Ion. He started very early using the word tactile, which is a word only McLuhan used, and then I used from McLuhan. I never heard the Abrahams or anybody else use the word tactile. Very quickly, Ion is using the word tactile, and I'm thinking, I just told JW about tactile a year or two before. Is this JW talking? Where is this tactile thing coming from? So I puzzled about it, so eventually I asked Ion, what does tactile mean? And Ion said, contrast. And I've never heard, that's never been said as a definition, but actually, if you read McLuhan's definition of tactility and how it's an encounter with things and objects, it's exactly summarized by the word contrast. But I realized that Ion had a really good understanding of tactile and tactility, and so he's been using it. But you have to realize, nobody uses that word in the occult genre. So I am impressed with Ion using that word and using it correctly.
Yeah, no, that's interesting because it's not used in the occult genre.
No.
The interplay of the sense.
The interplay, the 13 factor, the interface. Yeah. McLuhan defined tactility as the resonant interval, the resonating interplay, interface. All these things are what you try to visualize with tactility, even though tactility can't be visualized because it's not just visual. So, what was I going to say? So he said that 13 is the jumping platform between spiral helixes. It's 13 is the interval. And look at Jesus. He was in the interval. And look at the cross. The cross is a sign of the intersection. It's a sign of the interval. Using the word tactility correctly in explaining things. That's new for humans to hear that. So when he did that whole knowing, unknowing, knowing, knowing with Hedy, he was actually verbally miming tactility. Which is like, you know, and then you let go. You know, you don't know. You know, you don't know. On, off, on, off, on, off. You know?
Yeah.
It's like, when I was a kid, they had these books, children's books, and it was called Good News, Bad News. And it's like, good news, you won the lottery, and then it's like, bad news, you lost your ticket.
Right.
It just keeps flipping back and forth.
So tactility or contrast is the essence of the physical world. And it's the juggling, surfing, the waxing and waning of that in our perception is how you progress. No, that's the wrong word, but you know what I mean? It's understanding the tactile interface of how you can't get rid of contrast in the physical, but you can it can grow strangely dim.
Yeah.
But it's going to always be there.
You just let. Yeah, exactly.
You can start to use it for your own benefit.
Exactly. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, and you can take any trinities, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, which Ion says is physical, non-physical, and the betterment of the mind. Think of them as four aspects. It's three, but they interplay, shift positions and ratios. That's tactility. It's actually defined how our being is in tactile terms. By bringing it to the three, because most people think it's mind-body or this, that. No, it's the labyrinth of rulemaking in the middle. It's like each one of those things can be tactile. The physical can be the tactile, or the non-physical, the labyrinth of mind. It sounds like the labyrinth of mind is the most tactile. Because yeah, it's the jockeying between the physical and non-physical. And then you get the three kingdoms. The now...
It judges the tactility.
Right. And that's the tuning fork, or the metronome, tick-tock at different rates. The tick-tock is a tactile interface. So when he talks about the three kingdoms, the outer kingdom and the inner kingdom do not directly interact. They have to go through the middle kingdom. And the middle kingdom, I define, is our now. Well, the now is the result of the tactile interplay of everything. So the middle kingdom is the tactile.
Okay. So
it's the mind sifting out between what is and what ain't.
Yeah, that's what it is. So then you could write a little human conversational drama illustrating that. Did you notice, Eat the Question put a good thing on, he quoted Beckett, I think. Did you see Dennis talking to the king? Did you see that, Chet? It's
wild. I missed that one.
Yeah, Eat That Question. It's response to Ben Watson, the Ben Watson script post. And it's very interesting, that dialogue. Check it out. It's a post by Eat That Question. But, it's an example, like Beckett, you know, a student of James Joyce, his secretary at one point, his plays are showing tactility of human communication. On a linear sense, it doesn't make sense, right? It's not going anywhere. It's not meant to go anywhere. It's meant to show the interplay of the is that wants to get to the then or to the later, and how that is frustrated, sort of.
Analyzing the interplay and what's going on there as well.
Yeah, and you can see in primitive cultures, and pre-literate cultures, they naturally have a sense of the tactile. Because that's how it originally began, you know.
Think about it.
Yeah, like Zen Buddhism is a retrieval of that tactility. So they say, you know, it's neither the message or the thing that's pointing to the message. It's something in between. And McLuhan pointed out that Zen Buddhism talks about the tactile interval. But then McLuhan, his genius insight was that the television environment externalized the tactile interval right in front of us as an environment. Then it gets sped up by the computer and the digital, and then by the time of Enron, they had no way to measure what they were making. So that went on for 8 years, and then it flipped.
So Bob, I don't know, I might have heard you talking to Bob Marshall about this in one of your recordings.
Those are great talks, Bob Marshall.
Bob Marshall's
very funny,
like,
right?
Yeah. But occasionally you guys will hit some glistening idea just in your humor. This one was the mystery landscape that we're in now, the new tactility is knowing what's real versus, or deciding what's real and what's not real.
Yes, and knowing that we don't have a reel to base on the argument on anymore.
Right.
Yeah, the great thing with Bob Marshall is, you know, he's known Carol and I since 81. And we've had many, he, as a young kid, was trying to figure out tactility. So we've had many conversations about this, and he's a great actor, a great mime. And he just creates these hilarious scenarios while trying to explain what the hell we're talking about, right? Which can't be done, but you're trying to do it. I would recommend you go to Dobstown.com and listen to the Bob Marshall. It's a hilarious interaction of two guys trying to be tactile, express tactility, and relate it to Ion's concepts. Because when Bob Marshall...
Yeah.
Go ahead.
See, Bob, he goes, Bob, what is thought? And you go, I think thought is, and then you just lose it and roar and laugh.
Right, because when he had a reading in the beginning days, I gave readings to about 12 friends, and his first question was, is there a difference between tactile and thought? and ESP, something like that. And it was really confusing, interesting session with Ion because it was early. We'd only had him for a couple weeks, so we didn't really know what Ion really meant. But that is what the Bob Marshall Dobbs dialogues are about, is us processing what Ion said to Bob in his own private session. So that's what you get in the first act. You remember that, Chad, right? We're trying to figure it out. But it's very, we get all excited. We start understanding what we're saying. Then we get laughing, and then it collapses into some other tactile zone, right?
Yeah, but I think it's because you break out into laughter, because you're in that space.
Right.
Like Bob Marshall, to me, he kind of represents the advocate of, you know, we got to use words to communicate about using words to communicate about using words to communicate.
That's right. He gets depressed that Ion, he got depressed that Ion was still just a word guy. He didn't get the non-physical massage level. So he thought it was just word games from Ion. And he didn't want, he's sick of that. And I don't know, maybe he's got it now, but that's the tension in the argument. He's saying it's just words, Bob. And he says, Ion has not transcended the fact humans need words. And I think more and more now that, no, Ion does transcend the word thing by massaging your non-physical.
Yeah, that used to be a huge sticking point for me when I, like E.G. Krishnamurti, that words are useless, you know, language is a virus. But no, Ion's definitely tuning and resonating with non-physical and using language in there. A new form.
Yeah, so if technology, as McClone says, are always extensions of language and words, with the chip Android Meeting Landscape, we got to the absurd level of wordiness, wording as a technology, and it flipped into beyond word and still communicating. And that's why I see, that's a good way of explaining what IM is. It's post-word, but not in the dilemma, and massaging, but entertaining on the word level.
Absolutely. I mean, How could non-physical come in otherwise and express and participate like this, like the ESP or whatever, you know?
Yeah. Words. Yeah, in other words, Ion is being, as a matter of fact, I noticed that ask a question, and you, if you listen to all the shows, you'll notice this. He has a pat bunch of words to say about in response to her first question, if it's the first time asked by that person. He'll go into, well, the world was flat, and then it wasn't flat. You know, that stuff. He has, and so just last night or today, I said, geez, this is a chip. This is a computer. I've heard so much of it that a lot of it is just him going, it's not even, I began to see that it ain't Ion that I'm listening to. Ion is other thing that's going on. It just automatically has answers for everything, and it's going to be the same answers. But he does, every show. Okay, so I get thinking it's just a robot, you know, a spam bot, but he every time says it slightly differently, probably because it's evoked by a different person. And it's that subtle interplay that's so living, so alive.
Exactly. And as you said tonight on the cash flow, you know, you'll pop to the postgrad section any moment. Deal with a newcomer at the same time, so it's nice.
Yeah, like if anybody, I was thinking about, see, I get to look at the questions like James, and you look, somebody's calling up and asking about their money, and we didn't get to somebody, forget now what it was, but I'm looking at a question about money, and someone else is saying, well, what about time, if time was backwards and it goes forward, and what does Zachariah Sitchin say about that? The levels of questions coming in, it's like the one-room schoolhouse with all 12 grades talking at the same time.
and post-grad students and then professors.
Yeah, and then former teachers sitting back in the, being students again.
and intellectuals and all those sorts.
Yeah, now, I should see if you find this. I want to read you the first thing that Ion said. It's very interesting, and I think it's pretty accurately typed. We checked it with Ion, and he corrected one thing, and I don't know if my copy has the right thing. I think Carolyn has it, but I just want to read you. It's pretty interesting. It's relevant to what he said today. As you notice, most sessions, Ion will eventually talk about Bob or about Carolyn or about JW, right? He'll start using them as an example. And
this is my theory, or my understanding of that at the point. So I'm going to the ION transcripts. We've done 257 sessions privately, and I've reviewed only 46 of them because they're so long, and I'm going through providing, you know, the themes and words that are discussed. So I can go to this collection of transcripts and go to the first one, which we didn't know what was going to happen, if he was even going to respond, and we thought we were talking to the evergreens. So I've explained this before, you guys probably know it. So I scanned down to the beginning. It's now up to, in my transcriptions, I don't know what you call these computer pages, I'm up to 223 pages for the first 46 things. So here's, I don't know what I asked. Hey, Carolyn, do you remember what we asked? The first question? You don't remember, do you? In the first session? No, so we don't know. What are you? Yeah, maybe I said, what are you? But something had to speak first. But this is what she has down for the first sentence that's speaking. So it says, it, I don't know what it is, but it goes, it is the process with which is between the three of you, which is your experience. So let's say it is ION. ION is the process which is between the three of you, that's me, Carolyn, and JW, which is our, see, the way Carolyn writes it is the process which is between the three of us, which is our experience. Okay. I don't know if ION said the three of us or the three of you. You know what I mean? Maybe it said, probably did say that, because I think Karen would just write what it said. So the process which is between the three of us, which is our experience, the alchemy between JW and Carol and I had the synergy effect of having ION. And what is interesting, he says that in the first sentence. I didn't even notice this until a month ago. It actually is a very, very interesting statement. And
but at that stage, it was just E3 involved in it.
Yeah.
It's a true statement. And then if you ask them again, maybe you'd include everyone else in that statement.
Right. So if you notice today, he goes on, you know, praising Bob and Carolyn for creating the ION thing.
Yeah. Exactly.
I see that as JW shifting the blame over to us so he doesn't have to take all this. It's a subtle shifting, but it's not JW, it's ION doing that. ION is shifting the attention away from JW over here, and then we'll be in the spotlight for a while. Then he'll eventually insult me, he doesn't insult Carol very much, but he'll insult me. So he takes the spotlight off me, and he moves it back to JW or to you, the questioner, you know what I mean? So
yeah.
It's a gyroscope, moving the spotlight around on different people. So here's what Carol wrote after. Here's the rest of it. It's the next sentence is, you alluded to it several times last night, the process of which where others were doing the psychic work. So I assume ION is saying that to us, and it's not even ION at that point. We don't even know, have no name. So it is the process which is between the three of us, which is our experience. You alluded to it several times last night, the process of which where others were doing the psychic work. I had referred to probably the evergreens to JW, and I said, maybe you got the evergreens coming through you. So it seems ION is saying that. Then it says, the gist of this process that's opening, now that would be probably the thinning of the veil, though we don't know at that point. The gist of this process that's opening is that there seems to be more of a tactile experience of the change in the veil, turning inside out, which means what we know that is not, and what we know that is not is. Now, when he was saying that in that first, I didn't know what the hell he was talking about, right? And I hear the word tactile, and I know I educated JW on tactility. I'm saying, well, this is JW saying tactile. That's what I'm first thinking. This is JW talking. But then it goes on, and then it says, we are just now coming to a place of resolution. That means the resolution of this word problem that Marshall was talking about. ION and us are coming to a place of resolution. And then it says, parallels to the Resolute Desk in the White House. A British ship lost a couple hundred years ago. Queen Victoria had two desks made out of the ship, one in the White House, one in Buckingham Palace. I don't know what the hell is that about. I don't figure out this till about 8 months later, based on all the historical stuff we did. that he says this in the first sentence. And I think he said that in the first paragraph. Didn't he say last show? Last week, something about we love the resolute debt. Do you remember that sentence?
Vaguely.
Yeah.
So you were talking about patterns. It was a few shows ago, patterns that show up in your hand, and also something about the desk at the White House, the resolute desk has patterns in the wood. If Obama could only notice them.
Right. Is that what he said a week ago? You remember it,
Jed? A couple weeks ago.
Yeah, you remember this, right. Yeah. So here he is bringing up the resolute, and it was in the first paragraph on March 18th. See, it's becoming like a Zappa composition. Remember he said all his work is one big album, one big composition?
One big.
I can see Ian was planting things in that we didn't know what he meant until 6 months later. But he plants them in. It's so conscious. So he knows he's making an art form here, a beautiful, symmetrical thing. One day we'll get you to hear how...
Bob, that whole thing with me about the hemlock, it all started at your hemlock.
Right.
Ion mentioned that to me in a reading about July or August.
Well, yeah, that was one of your first readings. I remember that. That's your first reading.
Yeah.
Why not your first?
It's only tonight that it really clicked.
Yeah, and you sent me a picture of the hemlock. You sent us a picture of it in the park there.
Yeah. So Ion planted that.
I thought you understood all that, so you're saying you got an epiphany tonight about it.
Well, I always knew what hemlock Ion was referring to, but I didn't understand it in the context of the symbols and the riffs,
right.
The riffs and all that. I knew I would figure it out eventually, but, you know, we're talking 6 months ago it was brought up, and tonight it's in my knowing now how to use it.
That's right. There's Ion is a pretty incredible psychoanalyst, you know, in conventional terms. He knows, he has described me and Carolyn and what we are in very new, interesting, but obviously true ways, you know, like we're all on the couch here, you know, all of us, and Ion's x-raying us all. But without any value judgment about it. It's like words are so obsolete now. I come in and can say everything, get it down finally, what the words were trying to say, and yet still be communicating past that on another level, which is the mystery landscape.